Live from the road course at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, this is Indy Lights, presented by Cooper Tires on the IndyCar Radio Network and SiriusXM IndyCar Nation.
It is race day Saturday from the racing capital of the world, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Thanks for making us a part of your day. This is the Indy Lights series presented by Cooper Tires on IndyCar Radio. My name's Nick Yeoman. Our driver analyst, Davey Hamilton, will be with us here momentarily as we're set to go racing for 35 laps with the future stars of the NTT IndyCar Series. Drivers getting strapped in their cars right now. This is the second of two races this weekend. Yesterday, we went running for 35 laps in a super competitive race that saw contenders like Christian Rasmussen and Linus Lundqvist tangle, as well as Benjamin Peterson and Matthew Brabham. It was Daniel Frost, the driver from Singapore, scoring his first career win. And yesterday, we chatted with him victoriously in victory lane.
And it's a big smile on the face of Daniel Frost, who just is receiving congratulations from seemingly everyone here in the pit lane. Daniel, last year, three times you were a runner-up. Now you get to taste victory for the first time in Indy Lights presented by Cooper Tires, and what a great place to do it.
It's a perfect place to do it, and yeah, big smiles. Finally able to feel how that first place is pretty awesome. Been pipped out a couple times last year. It kind of got me frustrated, but I never gave up, and finally it came through. So big smiles to the team and myself for this result.
And it was a wild race. Take us through the first few laps in your view of some of the chaos in front of you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, everyone was just battling for positions, and I was just there a little bit behind first to third, and I was like, okay, something could happen here, but I got to make the most of it, so I had to stay close to all those guys. And eventually, lap three, unfortunate for my teammate, but, he got taken out by another competitor, so, sad face to that, but, I had to recover for the team a little bit, and we managed to get that top spot, so yeah, great.
And finally, you made the switch to the HMD team for 2022. Has the year gone as you expected? What has it been like in the new environment?
Kind of what I expected to win. Last year was just a rookie season, so we were just working on making myself a better driver, but today I've really decided that this is the year that I need to do something. So
you decided that today?
I decided that on the off season.
Sure.
But I did decide it today with the win. It was great that we made some progress. Cars coming alive, teams coming alive, myself is coming alive. So, yeah, all good.
Fantastic performance. Congratulations. You are a race winner.
I am a race winner for Indy Lights.
And with that race win, Davey, he moves himself to right there in the points championship. As they run, he's 7 points back of Linus Lundqvist and did a great job, as they talked about in victory lane, of navigating the traffic, staying out of those accidents, and ultimately to score that first.
Yeah, great run by him. Smart. He did a smart drive, and we've seen at the start of the race yesterday, it's going to happen again today. The draft on this new tires on the new tires on this front straightaway is amazing. So being the leader is always the best place to be, because once you get the lead, the guy in second is faster than you now. So it made for a great race.
Yeah.
They just got to mind their business, not take each other out. Unfortunately, that happened yesterday. Left the door open for Frost, but not to say Frost couldn't win anyways. He's fast.
Day of redemption for guys like Lundqvist and Rasmussen, Brabham and Peterson, who had the contact yesterday.
Yeah, well, for sure. They have to, especially, we've seen Lundqvist come back through the field as well as Peterson. He got punted too, unfortunately, by Brabham. There should be no mistakes on their side today, I'm pretty sure.
Ryan Finney finished 14th. James Rowe Jr. was 13th. 12th was Kiffin Simpson. Benjamin Peterson, as we mentioned, he tangled with Matthew Brabham. Those two drivers finished 10th and 11th. 9th was Ernie Francis. 8th was Jacob Abel. 7th, Christian Bogle. And Antonio Saravalli finished 6th. Good runs for both of those guys. And then it's some of those drivers that tangled early in the race. Lundqvist rallied to 5th. Rasmussen charged back to 4th. A podium finish for Stingray Robb. And Hunter McElroy finished 2nd. Davey had a good run yesterday, a guy trying to turn his season around.
Yeah, and he is one that before the tires started wearing down, he was a threat to Frost. He almost had a chance to get by him. Unfortunately, he didn't do it, but a good run for second.
And, of course, the winner yesterday was Daniel Frost. He is the third winner in three races. That's a trend that we like to see continue. Lundquist run at Barber at St. Petersburg. It was Matthew Brabham. And then, of course, yesterday, Daniel Frost picking up the first career win. Well, it's time to fire these engines. Let's go trackside for the command here for the Indy Lights Series presented by Cooper Tires.
Race fans, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports. Here to give the command for today's Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis race number 2, welcome from Donato's, Olivia Breedlove.
Drivers, start your engines.
The field of 14 roars to life here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Here's how they'll start. It's the starting lineup for the Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis.
Here's today's Indy Lights presented by Cooper Tires starting lineup. Row 7.
Ryan Finney, United States.
Kiffin Simpson, Cayman Islands.
Row 6.
James Rowe, Ireland.
Christian Vogel, United States.
Row 5.
Ernie Francis Jr., United States.
Jacob Abel, United States.
Row 4.
Antonio Cervelli, Canada.
Benjamin Peterson, Denmark and United States.
Row 3.
Daniel Frost, Singapore.
Stingray Robb, United States.
Row 2.
Matt Brabham, United States.
Christian Rasmussen, Denmark.
On the outside of row 1.
Hunter McElroy, New Zealand.
And starting on the pole.
Linus Lundqvist, Sweden.
That's how it'll sound. You got three turn announcers going to help us call the action down in road course turn number 1. Already starting to see those grandstands start to fill up. Good afternoon, Michael Young.
Well, good afternoon, Nick Yeoman. It is a warm one here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Welcome from what we've seen in the early few months of 2022. It went from cold to warm, but we will take it. The field just now leaving pit lane, and the pole sitter, Linus Lundqvist, hoping for a better result than yesterday after battling with Rasmussen and contact at the exit of turn number 2. He will bring the field down. I will see the right-hander into turn number 1, left-hander of turn number 2, about 200 to 300 yards before they make the right-hander in turn number 3, then a hard and tight turn number 4, looking for a quick release off of turn number 4 to get a little momentum. Switch back of 5 and 6 down Holman Boulevard and into the view of our very own Mark James. Good afternoon, Mark.
Thank you, Michael. Off to a great start here in terms of the weather. Some white puffy clouds and beautiful blue skies. Fingers collectively crossed that it stays that way. As Michael mentioned, Holman Boulevard, essentially the back straightaway here of this 2.4-plus mile infield course. We see the pace car now slow up with the field behind it. That's a left-hander, turn number 7. Probably the best passing point here on the racetrack. Then the S's, if you have any here, where they go to the right, then back to the left. There's some curbing on each side, some rumble strips that they'll notice. Now the pace car makes its way off of this very tricky portion of the course and a deceptively fast portion of the course off of turn number 8, the setup for turn 9, and where they pop into the view of Jake Query.
Mike, you are so correct in the fact that when you look at this racetrack, the area that I am overseeing, which is the S's area, that becomes turn 9, and then a long sweeping right-hander that is turn at number 10. There's a kink in there that technically is turn 11 that puts them back onto the south end of the oval here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. A right hand that is turn 12 and a lefty that's turn 13 before they go back onto the main straight. The reality is this, Mark, and that is the area where you drop them to me is an area where they may not necessarily be able to make up a ton of speed, but they can certainly lose a lot of ground because there are areas where there is a lot of trick to getting that inertia to the rear end of your car, not having it step out on you. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch here. As you had mentioned, the sun is out, and Nick Yeoman, we shall see whether or not Mother Nature cooperates, although that's an interesting curveball that could come in the form of this race.
One to go at the line. Let's check in with our pit reporters with a driver to watch. We'll start first with Rob Blackman. Hello, Rob.
Today, Hunter McElroy was my pick to click. He started P2, he finished P2, and I'm going to keep riding that horse. You know, with his finish yesterday, he went from 13th in the standings to 6th. I think today is the day for the Los Angeles native, the young man from the City of Angels. I'm going with Hunter McElroy. What about you, Ryan Marine?
That's a good pick. How about yesterday's winner, Daniel Frost? He's starting all the way back in the 6th position. A bit of a surprise there, but the qualifying yesterday was a bit strange with the first lap, your best lap of qualifying setting the grid for race one, second best lap for race two. So he's got some work to do. I got my eye on the Singapore native to charge through the field a little bit from that sixth spot and put on a show for us.
Lundqvist and McIlroy on the front row, Rasmussen, Brabham in row two, row three, Stingray, Rob, and our winner yesterday, Daniel Frost. Row four, Peterson and Saravalle. Row five, Abel and Francis Jr. Row six, Bogle and Rowe. Row seven, Simpson and Finney. And Davey, I know we're going to be watching this start because yesterday the initial start was called off.
It was. Too slow, coming down too slow. Lundqvist, they won't do that again. They learned their lesson yesterday as well. It was still a little bit of a slow start yesterday, even after the second time. So they're lined up two by two right now, coming through turn 12. Nick, and momentarily for the green.
It is the same, too, on the front row that controlled yesterday. Lundqvist already starting to pull away. McIlroy jumping the throttle as they'll even up through the final couple of corners. We're set to go racing. This is round number four of the Indy Lights Championship presented by Cooper Tires right here on IndyCar Radio. Buckle in. 35 laps from the racing capital of the world, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Out of the final corner, they will accelerate. Lundqvist gets the charge. Matthew Brabham moves to the outside. He's looking. They're going to go four wide, Michael, for second, heading to turn number one.
Yeah, that's seven rows of two fanned out quickly. Brabham on the outside. Daniel Frost trying to make the move. It's Rasmussen on the outside to the sprint down into turn number one. Linus Lundqvist will be the winner. Rasmussen in two, but Matt Brabham has the advantage on the inside of turn number three. So move Matt Brabham to that second position. Linus Lundqvist with a nice charge. Rasmussen falls back to third. Matthew Brabham running second.
A bold move by Matthew Brabham given the error that he made down to the aforementioned turn number one. Clearly a fast race car. The big beneficiary of that four wide battle, Linus Lundqvist, who has about a 10-car length advantage. Rasmussen, Brabham going side by side. Bang wheels a little bit. Rasmussen gets a little squirrely, gets off the grass, but somehow, someway, he's able to hold on to that third spot.
And that allows for a bit of a traffic jam behind Rasmussen. He holds on to that third position, but all of a sudden behind him, things are getting very crowded. It is Daniel Frost running in fourth, but the leader is Linus Lundqvist. He has about a 2-car length advantage over Matthew Brabham, who backs up just a little bit through turn number 12. Now through 13, the field. Nick Yeoman coming to the completion of lap number one. Will do so in single file.
Lundqvist was shot out of the cannon. He's got a healthy advantage of about 8 to 10 car lengths here at the end of lap number one. That is big. Matthew Brabham sits second, about 4 or 5 car lengths ahead. Battle-O is for third. It's Rasmussen and Frost headed to turn one.
Yeah, the big loser was Hunsel McIlroy. He fell back to that fifth position. Move further back to the inside. That's the battle for six. Ernie Francis Jr. makes contact with James Rowe. Rowe tried to make that pass, unable to do so. So back to the front, the battle for that third position. Boy, all kinds of tire smoke coming off of Daniel Frost. He goes alongside Stingray Rob. The battle for third through the switchback. Daniel Frost moves to that third position, but here comes Stingray Rob back.
Stingray Rob going to try to go side by side into the turn. He's not going to be able to do it. They all woe up a little bit, and now a good strong move to the outside. Looks like he's going to grab the spot. They're going to go single file now at the exit of turn number seven. Meanwhile, the leaders start to check away off of turn number nine.
So the leader is Lundqvist, but again, best battle right now is that spot for third. Daniel Frost is making a hard charge. He has behind him the car that he had previously dispatched. That is that of Hunter McIlroy, but now his next intended target moving right in front of him is Rasmussen.
So the front two have gotten away a little bit, Lundqvist and Brabham. It's Rasmussen who has jumped to that third spot, getting around Daniel Frost, and he's right ahead of Hunter McIlroy as everything is stacked up from about third on back. But we're seeing Jacob Abel and Stingray Rob go side by side for the eighth position. But again, the battle for third is a good one, Michael. Here comes Daniel Frost to the outside of Rasmussen.
Yes, we'll see Rasmussen tucked to the inside. Daniel Frost trying to take Rasmussen down. Rasmussen fights back. He'll take that inside line, take it away from Daniel Frost. Now Daniel Frost has to worry about Hunter McIlroy. McIlroy's all over the rear wing of Daniel Frost. So back towards the front, Christian Rasmussen in that third position as the front two have checked out. Rasmussen, 2 car lengths over Daniel Frost as they make their way down home at Boulevard.
Yeah, a couple of these guys survived all the carnage yesterday and survived to end up on the podium. Rasmussen's going to get to the turn first. It's Frost and McIlroy who really start to bunch up now at the exit of turn number seven. Daniel Frost has the advantage. Not much wiggle at the exit, but McIlroy is stuck right into the tire tracks now as the battle for third heads to turn 10.
Yeah, when they went through the S's setting up for turn number 10, McIlroy put his car exactly where Daniel Frost was putting his. Now, they worked their way into turn number 12. pretty good battle shaping up in the back of the pack. It is James Rowe getting all kinds of competition. That is Jacob Abel taking a look at him. As a matter of fact, that one is going to dispatch itself out quickly heading into turn number 12.
Yeah, Rowe made the pass. Abel did the swap over move, and he's going to wrestle that eighth position back. Meanwhile, front two getting away. It's Lundquist and Brabham. Battle for fourth is shaping up because here comes Hunter McElroy right in the rear wing, Michael, of Daniel Frost to turn one.
Yeah, Hunter McElroy will look to the inside. He will think better of it. Further back, Ernie Francis Jr., Antonio Saravalle starting to battle. So that third place position, Christian Rasmussen has it. Then it's Daniel Frost and Hunter McElroy. We have a driver off. It's Kiffin Simpson. He will rejoin the field. But as we look to that battle for fourth again, it's Daniel Frost, Hunter McElroy. They're through turns five and six.
I'm going to jump back up to the front, and it looks like that Matthew Brabham, slowly but surely, thanks to late braking at the end of the front straightaway and the back straightaway, is starting to draw a bead on your leader, Lidas Lundquist. Jake, they'll be noticeably closer by the time they get back to you.
I'll call it about four car lengths, but Brabham is a little bit tighter off of turn number 10 than was Lundquist in the way that they set up in that kink through turn number 11. They have really dispatched a good distance between themselves and the third place running Rasmussen. But again, the leader, Linus Lundquist, sets up for that lefty of turn 13, does so with Brabham right there. Brabham goes a little closer inside on that curbing, but still not able to make up any ground as they take their way back to the main straightaway.
Well, I'll tell you what, Davey Hamilton, I mean, early on, some good wheel-to-wheel racing, and most importantly, these drivers taking care of each other. We've seen some pretty aggressive moves and pass attempts, but so far, not a lot of contact.
Yeah, and what's made a good race so far is these new tires, as I said, when they get started, they're so close to each other, the draft down the straightaway plays a big part, but as the tires start wearing down, Nick, they start evening out a little bit, and then they have to fight for it now, so they've spread out somewhat. But they still have that extra power once they get, you know, close enough to the car in front of them. Right now, looks like the first two, Lundquist and Brabham, have a nice race going on, nice stretch, a nice gap between Rasmussen and Frost. But man, Frost, he's been putting it down. He got all the way up to third at one point from his sixth starting position.
Lundquist and Brabham, they are 4.8 seconds ahead of the third place running car of Christian Rasmussen, and Brabham has kind of been flirting between 0.8 and a full second behind our race leader, kind of stalking him here in the opening laps. But it's Lundquist and Brabham 1-2. Rasmussen is third. Frost is fourth. McElroy is fifth. Ernie Francis Jr. off to a good start. He's running in the sixth position. Antonio Saravalle is seventh. Jacob Abel is eighth. Stingray Robb runs in the ninth spot. Benjamin Peterson is 10th. 11th is James Rowe Jr. 12th is Ryan Finney. Kiffin Simpson is 13th. Christian Vogel took a trip through the turn 7 grass. He runs in the 14th position. Up front, though, Michael Young, there's no doubt the two fastest cars are checking out on this field. Lundquist and Brabham headed to one.
Yeah, Linus Lundquist about an 8-car length advantage over Matthew Brabham. And remember yesterday, we know Matthew Brabham knows how to break deep, but yesterday he crossed the line and broke too deep. Actually took out Benjamin Peterson. He's thinking better of how he approaches turn one now, but we have contact further back in the field. Stingray Robb, and it's Christian Vogel. No, I checked that. That's Jacob Abel made contact in turn one. We have a piece of mirror sitting out on the track. I believe that's Jacob Abel back up to the front with Mark James.
Yeah, leaders working their way off at turn number 7. I can tell you something cool has unfolded up here on the ninth floor, Jake Query. The Road to Indy multiple level champion Spencer Pigot, NTT IndyCar Series driver Spencer Pigot, up here on the roof, driver coaching and spotting, and he's by his lonesome, Jake. So when the cars are on the back stretch, he's on this side of the pagoda. When they get to the front stretch, he gets to the front side of the pagoda. So Spencer Pigot getting his steps in up here today.
That's the beauty of it up there on the pagoda. No area on the speedway can you see the entire track in one spot, but if you move around up there, you can see everywhere. Linus Lundquist right now seeing everything with clean track in front of him, Nick. He's the leader here at IMS.
Michael called the accident between Jacob Abel and Stingray Robb, and it resulted in a damaged front wing for Jacob Abel, and he's had to kind of limp around this racetrack with that thing dragging along, and certainly going to expect to see him come to pit lane momentarily because that car looked heavily damaged, Davey, and we see them going to work right now.
Yeah, simple situation where Stingray Robb made the pass, went on the outside, drove in really, really deep. Abel trying to hold him off, and he just couldn't get down slow enough to make the corner without having a little bit of contact with Stingray Robb's right rear, and boy, he really paid for that one.
Robb Blackman, it didn't look like he was on pit lane for very long.
Probably less than 15 seconds. Jacob Abel coming to pit lane, and they swap out a new front nose piece with new front wings, and just like that, Jacob Abel is down and away. Yes, you're correct, Nick Yeoman. That was a quick stop for Jacob Abel.
He will tumble all the way to the tail of the field, running in the 14th position, so he will desperately need a full course caution to get back in the mix here. It is Linus Lundqvist by 1.7 seconds now over Matthew Brabham. That's important. You get more than a second and a half ahead, and all of a sudden the driver behind you cannot use the push to pass. So Brabham right now has to settle for second. Rasmussen is third. He's just 5.4 seconds back. Then the battle for fourth continues to be a good one. Daniel Frost has it. Hunter McElroy trying to charge to the rear wing of that orange and white car across the yard of bricks. Michael, let's pick up that battle for fourth headed to turn one.
As they make their way to turn one, there is still a piece of Jacob Abel's car, so if anybody misses turn one, they may run over it. Daniel Frost, one car length advantage over Hunter McElroy. Daniel Frost cleanly through turn number two now. Still has about a two-car length advantage over Hunter McElroy. McElroy trying to keep close as he has a deep break, a late braking through turn number four. Now Hunter McElroy will lose touch about four car lengths behind Daniel Frost.
Yeah, strong exit for Daniel Frost off of turn number five, and that is exactly what he needed. We'll see who breaks the latest here at the setup of turn number seven. Looks like McElroy, which has allowed him to close up a bit, gets down to two car lengths, but Frost is right back in the throttle. He's stuck in the tire tracks now. It remains about two car lengths now through eight and nine.
Frost has to be careful in turn 10 to make sure he doesn't go too wide, allowing McElroy to make up ground. He does not do that. Through turn number 11, keeps it a little bit closer to the bottom of the racetrack and into turn number 12. Ooh, McElroy had to lock up the brakes just a little bit. Some of that brake smoke comes off. We'll see how that affects those Cooper tires later in the race. Daniel Frost able to hold him off for another circuit.
They'll both stay off of that blue and white curbing just a bit. The exit of that final corner. McElroy right now, Davey, is about 6 tenths of a second behind. So he is close. We haven't seen him be close enough to pull out and try to make a pass.
Yeah, not close enough. Really spread out right now. What's going to happen in the center part of this race? The times are somewhat equal. They're using some push to pass. Some of these, there's still some racing going on. But now the interesting part, towards the end of this race, you get three quarters of the way through it, their tires start wearing out. That's where the cars really start changing their handling characteristics, and that's where we're going to see the guys with the good balanced cars try to come forward.
Just saw a nice pass towards the rear of the field for the 10th position between the TJ Speed teammates. Kiffin Simpson sweeps around the outside to get around James Rowe Jr. We are working lap number 8 with 27 to go. We're watching a pretty good battle. Davey Ernie Francis Jr., we talked about having a good day. He runs in 6th. Antonio Saravalli trying to hold on to that 7th spot as Stingray Rob doesn't show any ill effects between after the contact between himself and Jacob Abel, because he is giving Saravalli the work over here.
Yeah, I don't think any damage to Stingray's car. It looks like his right rear is in good shape right now. Still, if it hasn't lost air by now, it's not going to. He should be in good shape. But hats off to Francis Jr. and that team. This is what they really needed. They needed a shot in the arm, show that they can be competitive, showing that they're going the right direction. The car's getting better. He's getting better. And what a great – he's running 6th. That's not easy to do. And he's got some good Saravalli. Valley, Rob, Peterson, guys that we figure could be in victory lane behind him. So he's done a great job today.
Francis, Saravalli, and Rob. It's 6th, 7th, and 8th, Michael, into turn number 1.
Yes, Davey just mentioned he's becoming a better driver. I would agree with that. His lines have changed throughout the race weekend, and he is honing his craft and becoming more confident as he attacks turn 1. I've seen his line change several times, but he is smooth each and every time he passes through here. He suddenly has that 6th place position, but now Mark Jaynes, that battle for 7th starting to shape up. Hunter McElroy and Stingray Rob.
Yeah, Stingray Rob and Hunter McElroy. That's starting to heat up a little bit, but we'll go back and check in again on that battle between Francis and Saravalli. That they are getting tight, too, at the exit of turn number 7. Really tight. In fact, Jake, you can see about a half a car length between the two as they set up for turn number 9.
And again, Saravalli, one of them, as Nick had mentioned, that had quite the active day yesterday, now finds himself once again trying to get just a little bit racy, but he's got Stingray Rob now, the bigger issue just behind him. They set up kind of status quo as they work their way through turn number 12.
How important is it, Davey, to get a nice charge out of that final corner if you're a guy like Stingray Rob trying to set a guy up down into turn number 1?
Well, that's the passing zone, so that's where you really need to be fast. And you need to kind of make it through the rest of the track, but you need to be fast out there to keep that car behind you, especially if they're close enough to use a push to pass. So, yeah, Stingray Rob, he's working him over. I mean, he's giving Cervelli all he wants right now.
Michael, Hunter McElroy is wearing out Daniel Frost for that fourth spot.
Yeah, I misspoke. Hunter McElroy right behind Daniel Frost. Nice pickup by Mark James at Cervelli and Stingray Rob. But Hunter McElroy on the charge right now. He almost got to the rear wing of Daniel Frost, but Mark, Daniel Frost able to check out again down Homa Boulevard.
He's good through 5 and 6, Michael, and I think that makes all the difference in the world for Daniel Frost. But where that advantage all but disappears is the fact that McElroy is able to break just a little bit later into turn number 7, or at least that's the way it appears. The disparity is about 3 car lengths now as they work their way through 7 and 8. Now they set up for turn number 9. Oh, and a bit of a bobble by Daniel Frost. They might go side by side by the time they get to Jake Query.
They are side by side, and McElroy is going to take advantage of it. He swings past Daniel Frost. It was entering turn number 10. Frost looked like he literally checked up his brakes. That allowed McElroy to set sail, and the Australian took advantage. He now leads Daniel Frost as they worked their way through turn number 12.
Davey, Daniel Frost lost that position, but I got to pat him on the back because I thought that car was going around.
Yeah, he did a good job, and that's that curbing I was talking about a little bit earlier. That curbing is, they're cutting, going completely over the curbing all the way to the grass. That it's rough when you hit that. You can lose grip, and when you go over that, you cannot be on throttle. If you're on throttle, you're definitely going to lose traction. Looks like he went on there, tried to get on the accelerator a little quick. When his tire's on those rumbles, it just doesn't get traction. About spun the thing out, but good save.
Yeah, if this makes any sense, he spun out. He just didn't actually spin out.
Yeah,
that car was ridiculously sideways. So Frost will have to regather, and he falls to the 5th position. Top 5, it's Linus Lundqvist, Matthew Brabham, Christian Rasmussen, Hunter McElroy, and Daniel Frost. 6th is Ernie Francis Jr. 7th is Antonio Cervelli. 8th is Stingray Robb. Benjamin Peterson is 9th. Kiffin Simpson is in 10th. And, David, we're watching battles throughout the field. I mean, we see Christian Bogle and James Rowe Jr. They've been slugging it out. Ryan Finney was at it. It's towards the back of the pack, but there's good battles throughout the field.
Yeah, you know, I look at Finney. I know he's in 13th position right now, but Finney, he's gained a lot today. You know, I mean, yesterday he was really off the pace, but he was fighting with Bogle and Rowe and giving them all he could handle. And there is some really good racing. You look at between Francis Jr., Cervelli, Rob, and Peterson. That's a great race with those 4 cars as well.
Of course, later today, the NTT IndyCar Series is in action for live coverage of the GMR Grand Prix. Right here, the same outlets. You can catch it. Mark Janes, David Hamilton, the entire crew. 3 o'clock Eastern is the airtime. Got to make sure to get there at 3 o'clock because Green Flag will be at 3:07 Eastern time with the inclement weather as of right now on the way. So we moved up the start time a little bit. But, of course, the entire road to Indy is here this weekend. Ryan Marine is pit side with a gentleman who's already found his way to victory lane.
That would be Louis Foster, who races for Exclusive Autosport at Indy Pro 2000. The rung on the road to Indy right below Indy Lights. Congratulations, first of all, on finding victory lane at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Tell us a little bit about the weekend, how it's gone for you here at Indy.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really good weekend. I've really enjoyed it. First time here at IMS and just now took my first ever win in America. So, yeah, it's been a great weekend, been nice and warm, which is unlike what I'm used to in England.
I'd imagine so. What are your first impressions of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway? I'm sure you had seen it from afar and you've read about the place, but to see it in person, what was your impression?
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing place. I remember when I first pulled into the track, it's huge, it's massive, it's enormous. There's no other track like it in the world, really. So yeah, I really enjoy being here, obviously all the fans in the grandstands, and I really cannot imagine what it's going to look like in 2 weeks' time.
Now, as you mentioned, you're from the UK, as it looks like we've gone full course yellow here, and we'll get more information on that in just a moment, but I saw on your social media, you're now based in Los Angeles. What's brought you stateside?
Sorry, can you say that again?
What's brought you to the U.S.?
I came here for racing, really. I moved out here and I started doing college in Los Angeles, but now I've stopped doing that and I'm now focusing full-time on racing.
Just an update on what brought out this yellow. According to the signs around the track, there's a weather advisory for lightning in the area. That's quite interesting because it's pretty sunny overhead, but some clouds are starting to roll in. Would you have been okay there? I know there was rain in the forecast even for your race. It was at least a possibility. Would you have looked forward to that, or were you pretty happy to race in the dry?
Either way, I wasn't really too concerned. I mean, we're used to a lot of rain weather in the UK. So, I wasn't too concerned either way. I didn't actually know it was going to rain, but, it was nice that it was dry. Nice for the fans, especially.
Louis Foster joining us. Last thing for you, and then we'll turn you loose. What are your aspirations? You came stateside to pursue racing. What are the goals?
I mean, we're in the road to Indy, so I think the goal is pretty obvious. We're going to try and make it to IndyCar, but yeah.
We'd love to see you there. Hey, thank you so much for hanging out. I know it's a hot day. Go find some shelter. It looks like we might have some weather rolling in.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see. Thank you.
My pleasure. Louis Foster, a race winner this weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
All right, so appreciate that, Ryan. Yeah, we're going full course yellow here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis, and we can see, Davey, we're sitting in the Sid Collins booth looking at the front straightaway, and of course, we've got fairly cloudy but decent-looking skies, but we just saw an overhead shot and why they are throwing a yellow on this race.
Well, you know, that's why I'm not a weatherman, because I didn't think it was going to come till after the IndyCar race, but it's not the moisture, it's the lightning that's causing us to go yellow, and they're going to red flag condition is going to stop them on pit lane right now, Nick. So I guess it's just as bad. I mean, rain's better than lightning, to be honest with you, because they could continue on racing with the rain, just put rain tires on. So, I didn't think it was going to be here till, you know, this afternoon. But it looks like not only this race may end. I'm not sure if, well, we're not halfway over yet, so it's not official. But it looks like later on for the IndyCar race, we may find out how these canopies are going to work for the first time in the rain.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Right now, across the racetrack, if you're listening around, it's a weather advisory. Lightning has been detected in and around the Speedway area. They are asking for folks to exit the grandstands and seek shelter until further notice. We're going to have our turn announcers do that as well. Michael Younglo, you said you could at least give us an update of what you can see down there in road course turn one.
Well, yes, and I'm leaving the grandstands now. We strongly advise all race fans to do it as well. The lightning in the area, and as I looked over my left shoulder, I said, well, it's perfectly sunny, and there's an ominous-looking dark blue blackish cloud just to the northwest of Indianapolis, and I believe that's the cell that has caused this lightning delay. So we will hope that passes to the north of us and we're able to continue racing here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But safety always protocol here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So we will take a quick break, wait for this weather to pass through, and then continue on, hopefully without any rain.
Yep, that'll be the goal ultimately, is to get these cars on the racetrack and ultimately to go racing later today for the NTT IndyCar Series. But of course, safety, the most important thing is it's bizarre, Davey, because I mean there's no rain yet, but once the lightning's in the area, you know, I remember there was that horrible situation at Pocono with the NASCAR race where someone, you know, was struck by lightning. So I think it's kind of made all these racetracks and motorsports series kind of reevaluate what you can do.
Yeah, no matter where you're at, safety first. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a Saturday night short track race or here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You have to when it's lightning, you don't want to mess around with that. And unfortunately, what a great race that we were calling right there, and who knows where it's going to end up. Usually a race needs to be 50% over before they call it official. Unfortunately, it did not quite make it to 50% off. And, you know, obviously, like, this leaves a good time. You know, race owners is what makes it happen for us race drivers. And unfortunately, I had one, Louis Sheftrack, and his dad, Ed Sheftrack, owned my cars for a long time. And we lost Ed last night. But I, you know, I can't thank him enough and for what the opportunities he gave me to help my dreams come true and become Dindy. So rest in peace, Ed.
So it will be a 30-minute hold as we wait to see if the lightning in the area moves away from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's a red flag. Linus Lundqvist was your race leader 14 laps into this event. He was the last one, Davey, that wanted to see this caution, because while Matthew Brabham was 1.5 seconds, well, I guess the timing and scoring is due to the yellow flag when they slowed down. He had this one pretty much in
control. If I'm the driver that doesn't want this to happen, it's the first two guys, Lundqvist and Brabham, because Brabham, you know, Lundqvist had a nice lead over Brabham. Brabham had a great lead over Rasmussen. From their back, it was a challenge. So those two did not want to see it come out. I don't think Brabham had anything for Lundqvist at this point. But now when you have a restart, and you don't know if it's going to restart under wet or dry conditions. That could be something else. If it starts raining and lightning goes away, they're going to have to slap rain tires on these things. That's going to be really interesting, because nobody has any idea what turn one's going to feel like.
Yeah, talk about throwing dice on the racetrack to see where it happens. I mean, ultimately, you know, all these teams will they'll be allowed to change those tires if the rain comes down, and nobody's going to lose any position. But all of a sudden, you're right. I do think they've had a chance to do a little testing in terms of Indy Lights in the weather. But man, it's going to be awful interesting to see when we get a chance to go racing again. But Lundqvist up front, Brabham running in second, Christian Rasmussen was third, Hunter McElroy was fourth, Daniel Frost fifth, Ernie Francis Jr. in the sixth position, Antonio Saravalli is seventh, Stingray Robb is eighth, Benjamin Peterson ninth, Kiffin Simpson 10th, Christian Bogle was in 11th, Ryan Finney was running in the 12th position, 13th was James Rowe Jr.,
and 14th was Jacob Abel. Davey, let's talk a little bit about the IndyCar Series event later today, the GMR Grand Prix of Indianapolis. Will Power, Alex Palou, they've had excellent seasons so far. Neither have won races. Boy, they've got an opportunity, too, with them both starting on the front row.
Well, you know, Will Power, six pole positions here, right? He's got wins here. He has not had a win this year early in the season, but both his teammates have won. So you know he's hungry for it. I think he's the odds-on favorite to win this race. He's such a master around this facility. But it's off to a great start for him. But don't give it away. You got Palou. You got Pato O'Ward. There's so many other drivers. Now, Pato has his win, but there's a lot of drivers that don't have their win yet that are going to be hungry for it. So we'll see what happens.
All right, more to come. We'll have some updates, hopefully, when we come back at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Under a red flag condition for inclement weather, for lightning detected around the Speedway area. We'll be right back from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
The difference between a Hinchman fire suit and others? The difference is safety. All Hinchman fire suits are made with materials that are permanently fire resistant. That's why Nomex remains the standard. The difference is experience and innovation. Hinchman started the racing suit industry over 80 years ago. The difference is quality, value, and customer service. Your suit is an investment in your safety. And Hinchman is committed to giving you the safest and best racing suit, along with friendly personal service. Hinchman, why settle for anything less?
Get ready for the ride of a lifetime and take a trip in a real Indy car at your favorite track.
That was incredible.
This is Davey Hamilton. Come ride with me at the next NTT IndyCar event and see what it's like to be a real IndyCar driver. It's the fastest seat in sports, and you should be in it.
That was amazing.
Sessions are selling out fast. Go to IndyRacingExperience.com to make your racing dreams come true.
That was awesome.
This May, it's the tune that's calling us to come back together again, to come back to the spectacle, to come
back home again in Indiana.
The Indianapolis 500, Sunday, May 29th. Visit IMS.com for more information.
Wherever you are, we're right there with you. Download the IndyCar app, powered by NTT, for live streaming of every on-track session of the IndyCar Series and the Indy Lights. And when we're not on track, hear classic race broadcasts from nearly 70 years of open-wheel racing. Follow us on the TuneIn app or go to IndyCarRadio.com.
This crowd is unbelievable, and I'm so happy to win here!
At home, at work, or at the beach, IndyCar and Indy Lights are only a click away on your phone or tablet.
Back at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, red flag conditions for race number two of the Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis. The reason for the red flag, a weather advisory. Lightning has been detected in and around the Speedway area. They're asking all of the race fans here to exit the grandstands and seek shelter until further notice. And the reality of it is, Davey Hamilton, is as soon as there's a lightning strike in the area, it kind of resets the clock for 30 minutes. So this is probably going to be an extended delay.
Yeah, more than likely. And who knows if it stopped, but rain is coming. I looked at, you know, I'm not trying to be Willard Scott or anything, but I looked
you,
at
you're pretty good
I,
at
I,
it.
I looked at a different weather app, and it's changed drastically. It looks like it's going to be rain and lightning through the rest of the afternoon. So who knows what's going to happen, Nick, but we're going to be here ready for whatever it is.
Yep, and obviously with television windows at 3 o'clock for TV, the IndyCar Series is going to take the priority. So certainly advise, make sure you follow all the social media platforms, IndyCar, Indy Lights Twitter account as well on Facebook to keep you updated. We'll do our best as well on social media to let you know what's going on at the racetrack. We are going to sign off for now, and we'll rejoin you when the weather clears up and we get some track activity. Again, that might be some Indy Lights action, and if it's closer towards 3 o'clock, certainly the priority will be the GMR Grand Prix of Indianapolis. So, again, keep it locked to all your social media channels to get up-to-the-date updates in terms of what's going on here at the racetrack in terms of the weather delay. For Davey Hamilton and our entire crew, we will talk to you soon from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Live from the road course at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, this is Indy Lights, presented by Cooper Tires on the IndyCar Radio Network and SiriusXM IndyCar Nation.
What, you thought we were done playing in the rain at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway? Nope, not the case. Time to go back racing for the Indy Lights Series, presented by Cooper Tires here on the IndyCar Radio Network. Nick Yeoman, Davey Hamilton, Michael Young, three-man boothing it here as Davey Hamilton. When we stopped with 14 laps into this Indy Lights race, Linus Lundqvist was your race leader. We just ran an entire GMR IndyCar Grand Prix, and now we're going to get to see these future IndyCar prospects see what they can do with this racetrack, because it looks awful wet out
there. It's awful wet. Now, I don't know if it's going to be somewhat timed race, because you have to remember this. The race we just ran, it was a timed race. They didn't finish on it. They barely made it through halfway of the IndyCar race. So right now, I think we're on hold right now even, because it's they say the track is unraceable. It's absolutely pouring here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and so we'll see what happens.
That's exactly what you want to hear. Michael Young, you and I were just out in the elements. I had at least half of the 11th floor of the pagoda blocking some of the rain from that bench that you're out on an oval turn four. You're not as lucky. Just how wet was it the last half hour here?
I couldn't tell if it was my rain jacket was actually leaking or the wind that was coming up behind me blew the rain up and underneath my jacket. It was so wet at the very end of that race, to the point where I think it was the worst it had been those last 5 minutes of that race. And as Pato O'Ward finally came in, and as he spun, Grosjean spun, that has been the worst it has been all day. And now we were just talking about this Indy Lights race. It's almost dusk here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It is not very bright here on the 16th and Georgetown grounds.
Yeah, that's such a great point. We're not only racing the skies and hoping they cooperate, but certainly the sunlight and the daylight as it is starting to set here on this Saturday day in May. 21 laps to go when we do restart this Indy Lights race. It's Linus Lundqvist, who is your points leader, who is the race leader. Matthew Brabham was running second. Those two had kind of checked out on the field right before we had to throw the red flag for the lightning in the area. Christian Rasmussen is in third. Hunter McElroy will restart in fourth. Daniel Frost, who won yesterday's race, will restart in the fifth position. Ernie Francis Jr. sixth. Antonio Seravalli seventh. Stingray Robb eighth. Benjamin Peterson ninth. Kiffin Simpson is 10th. Christian Bogle will restart 11th. Ryan Finney in 12th. James Rowe Jr. in 12th. And Jacob Abel, who had to repair a front wing from an accident early in that event, will restart in 14th. So, Davey, if you're IndyCar race control, if you're these drivers, if you're these car owners, what do you want to see from the racetrack before we do eventually go racing?
Well, first of all, you can't have any standing water. I mean, I know in some of these corners, it was absolutely just, you know, flooded with water. And as I watch the safety trucks go down this front straight right now, you can just see the water really piling in front of the tires. I mean, they're pushing, the tires are pushing the water out of the way. So probably just a little bit too much rain. And another thing you have to remember, this race got stopped because of lightning, not because of moisture. So they had slicks on. They haven't ran their rain tires yet. So for these drivers to put rain tires on, have no idea what the track's going to be like, and shooting down there into turn one is in a wet condition is going to be interesting.
Yeah, they don't do live pit stops in Indy Lights, and while it hasn't been made official, more than likely what Indy Lights Race Control will do is allow all those teams to change those tires, put on those wet weather tires. Nobody's going to lose any positions. But Michael Young, bottom line is, though, I've been impressed with the fan support here this weekend. And out there in Oval Turn 4 and where you were at, I saw on the hills and the mounds, despite the weather that, again, it kept continuing to get worse and worse as we went on through the IndyCar race. A lot of Hardy race fans have stuck it out today.
Indeed, I think Hardy is the adept word that you they adapted to this rain very well. They stayed. And we're almost giddy to the latter portion of this race. And every time we'd go under caution, someone would spin, and they'd start hollering, and everybody would get up. Almost inevitable that we finally got it under green and we finally got a good race, but they did a fantastic job staying down in the elements, and everybody had their rain gear. They were ready to go. But back to Davey's points about these Indy Lights drivers, we got to remember just a couple of weeks ago we were in Barber in a torrential downpour, and those drivers did a pretty magnificent job handling those conditions. That although this race course is very wet, it was very wet in Barber as well.
Yeah, Davey, this thing's not going to dry out by the checkered flag.
No, we're for sure not drying out. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. With 21 laps to go, there is no. If it stopped raining right now, and it was just no more rain came, it still wouldn't dry out. I mean, it's massively wet, and even pit lane itself, I don't see the cars actually on pit lane at all right now. So they must be behind pit wall as they're trying to just to see if they could get enough water off this racetrack while it's still pouring. You look down into turn one right now, Nick, and they're pushing water off to the side of the track, but the problem is it's puddling up on the racetrack between the grass and the track, and so that is, that's tough when you have big puddles like that.
Michael, yesterday down in that portion of the racetrack, turn one on the road course, course, where you were positioned, you got to call some incidents down there as well in race number one, some guys colliding throughout the course of the day.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Obviously, in race number one, we were under dry conditions. But I will tell you this, that we're currently looking at turn one here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. There wasn't that much water down in turn number one just about a half hour ago. So, Davey, you're correct that that water is starting to pool. And we got a lot of rain in a short amount of time. So we'll see how these drivers do. They did a great job yesterday, although Matthew Brabham and Benjamin Peterson made contact. We had contact with the guys up front with Linus Lundqvist and Christian Rasmussen. There was lots of battling going on, and Daniel Frost ended up hanging in there. He had a great race. He wasn't handed that race. He actually won that race, but things have certainly changed since this morning when they were out there running on this road course. It was very hot, very humid, and now it's very wet, and it's not going to dry out, like Davey said, anytime soon.
It was a race of attrition. Daniel Frost scored his first career win. The driver from Singapore took it to victory lane at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and afterwards, we talked to that victorious driver.
And it's a big smile on the face of Daniel Frost, who just is receiving congratulations from seemingly everyone here in the pit lane. Daniel, last year, three times you were a runner-up. Now you get to taste victory for the first time in Indy Lights presented by Cooper Tires, and what a great place to do it.
It's a perfect place to do it, and yeah, big smiles. You know, finally able to feel how that first place is pretty awesome. Been pipped out a couple times last year. It kind of got me frustrated, but, you know, I never gave up, and finally it came through. So big smiles to the team and myself for this result.
And it was a wild race. Take us through the first few laps in your view of some of the chaos in front of you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, everyone was just battling for positions, and I was just there a little bit behind first to third, and I was like, okay, something could happen here, but I got to make the most of it, so I had to stay close to all those guys. And eventually, it turned, like lap three, unfortunate for my teammate, but, you know, he got taken out by another competitor, so, you know, sad face to that, but, you know, I had to recover for the team a little bit, and, you know, we managed to get that at the top spot, so yeah, great.
And finally, you made the switch to the HMD team for 2022. Has the year gone as you expected? What has it been like in the new environment?
Kind of what I expected, to win. Last year was just a rookie season, so we were just working on making myself a better driver. But today I've really decided that, you know, this is the year that I need to do something. So
you decided that today?
I decided that on the off season.
Sure.
But you know, I did decide it today with the win. It was great that we made some progress. Cars coming alive, teams coming alive, myself is coming alive. So yeah, all good.
Fantastic performance. Congratulations. You are a race winner.
I am a race winner for Indy Lights.
So Daniel Frost scored the race win yesterday here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It marked the third different winner in three races to kick off the season. That's the type of parity that we certainly love to see here in the Indy Lights Series presented by Cooper Tires. Well, as you can imagine, when there is weather in the area, sometimes plans can change quite a bit. And that is certainly what's going on right now here at the racetrack. Thought we might be getting this Indy Lights race restarted as of right now on a hold because of the track conditions, just way too much standing water. So we are going to take another break here on the IndyCar Radio Network. Again, if this race resumes, we will be here to call it. But certainly we are, in fact, we'll just hang on just tightly here for just a second because it sounds like we're starting to get updates. Michael Young, this is what it's like when the weather's like this. Everything's changing by the minute.
You know, I look at these corner workers, and this looks like an exercise in futility. They'll push the water out into the grass, and then that water will come back out onto the racing surface. They'll push it back into the grass, and then it'll come back onto the racing surface. There are about five or six people down there trying to figure out a way to get this water, especially on the outside of the entrance of turn number one, to stop pooling, but there is a huge puddle there. Now they're starting to work to the inside of turn number one, so lots of work yet to be done. We don't plan on going green anytime soon, and now we have a army of safety vehicles down in turn number one. They're going to start trying to run this course and see if they can't dry it out.
So no update for race control in terms of when we will restart this race, but they have all intentions of getting it done today. Again, the problem with the too much standing water on the racetrack and certainly running out of sunlight here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So we're going to take another break. We'll go back to race highlights on the feed and on the stream, and make sure you keep posted to all social media feeds, Indy Lights, IndyCar, as well as those of us on the IndyCar Radio Network. And when these drivers line up to go racing, we'll be here to call it. Again, thank you so much for being patient. We'll be back here on the IndyCar Radio Network from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
if you've stuck with us all day, congratulations. You are the most diehard of diehard IndyCar radio fans, and we certainly appreciate it. Thank you so much for being patient back at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, closing in on 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time here in the Circle City, and we are finally set to go racing and resume the Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis race number 2, just about 2 minutes away from the command to refire engines, Davey Hamilton. Finally, we saw some service trucks go around the racetrack 2 or 3 times. Sounds like race control is at least happy enough with the conditions of the racetrack.
Yeah, it seems like turn one was really the issue, yeah. And it puddled up pretty good. It did. They took the sweeper truck rather several times, and it looks like it's good enough. Now, pit lane is not good enough. There's big puddles. It looks like a lake down there, but there are no pit stops. They don't run on pit lane, so we're going to get these cars going momentarily. It's not raining as we speak right now, but I don't think there's any way that you'll see any dry spots on this racetrack. Humidity's high right now. It's a big race course. Now, you got to remember nothing. These drivers, they didn't end under rain. They ended under light, dry tires. So it's going to be a very interesting turn one. It's going to take 3 or 4 laps for these drivers to really figure out what they have for a race car when it comes to handling. And back in the garage, were they able to work on them, put a wet setup on them? Who knows?
Yeah, that was the question I was going to ask you. Impossible for us to know because we've been a little busy calling an IndyCar race over the last couple hours. But I'm sure those cars aren't going to feel great if it's as simple as slapping on wet weather tires if you've got a dry weather setup.
Yeah, and I have to think that maybe they allowed them to do something, because if they impound the cars and say nobody can touch them, that could have been the case. But that means they're out in the rain somewhere more than likely, right, and just sitting around. I would guess they would let them take them into their garages. And if they worked on them, who knows? But it's definitely full on wet. Now, they know what the cars feel like in wet. They started wet at Barber, the last event. It ended in dry. But they and their tires were completely wore out. They didn't have a chance to change those tires. But they haven't been on this track with the wets yet, so it's going to be quite an experience.
Linus Lundqvist won that race, Michael Young, at Barber Motorsports Park on that wet-to-dry racetrack. And, boy, he had to hold on for everything it was worth. I mean, the last couple laps of that lights race, about as good as we'll probably see all season long.
Boy, he and Benjamin Peterson really duked it out. And as that track dried, we saw Matthew Brabham's tires. They were almost down to the carcass. They had nothing left as far as tread goes on those. Matt Brabham drove it to the very limits. But not only Linus Lundqvist, but Benjamin Peterson, they put on quite a show, and they raced her down to the very end. Probably one of the best Indy Lights races we've seen in the last 5 years.
The fantastic Chevrolet Corvette Stingray pace car pulls away. How about that? A Stingray pace car in a race featuring a driver named Stingray.
That's right? Fitting, isn't it?
Can't make this stuff up. He's going to restart 8th as the field of 14 heads back out on the racetrack. Full course caution conditions. This is how it's going to go. First 2 laps, they're going to run under yellow. Those 2 laps will count to give these drivers a good feel for just how wet this racetrack is. Linus Lundqvist sliding all over the place, just exiting pit lane. Then we will hopefully drop the green flag. And with 19 laps to go, we will resume and, fingers crossed, finish the Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis race number 2. Here is how they run after the red flag and extended period before the race resumes. Linus Lundqvist is your race leader. He has led all 14 laps. Matthew Brabham will restart in the second position. Third is Christian Rasmussen. Fourth is Hunter McElroy, who had a fantastic second place run yesterday. Fifth is the winner of yesterday's race, Daniel Frost. Ernie Francis Jr., biggest mover so far. He started in the 10th spot, and in those 14 laps, moved up into the 6th position. So we'll see what the driver for Force Indy can do when we restart. Antonio Ceravalli's had a really good weekend in his debut with HMD Motorsports. He runs in the 7th position. Stingray Robb will restart in 8th. Benjamin Peterson looking to claw back up towards the front of the field. He's going to restart in 9th. 10th is Kiffin Simpson for TJ Speed. Christian Bogle is going to restart 11th. Ryan Finney, who is back in Indy Lights for the first time in 8 years, is going to restart in 12th. James Rowe Jr. is 13th. Jacob Abel is 14th. And, David, when we were racing earlier today, Lundqvist and Brabham kind of checked out on the field. So this just takes, whatever advantage they had, throws it in the tumbler. And we're going to find out how many of these guys are going to get aggressive, because it's a whole new ballgame.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely different conditions. I know, like we talked about, Lundqvist and Brabham, too, for sure, that didn't want the red flag to come out and go into wet conditions like this, but it happened. But, you got Frost, and even Francis Jr., I don't know if he's excited about it, but Frost, McElroy, Rasmussen, they're probably a little bit excited to say, you know what, we were so far back, we really didn't have a shot at this race. It's different conditions. And now, another thing that we don't know, who is really good in the rain.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, there's some of these drivers that have raced in rain and they're pretty good at it, so they're probably excited.
We found out, Michael, earlier from the IndyCar drivers in the IndyCar race, just about everybody at times looked good in the rain, but boy, it was really tough sledding for a lot of those guys throughout the course of that 85.
You know what's interesting about that race is that Brian Herta, you think back to the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500, the call that he made, the strategy halfway through that race, he said, we need to start, you know, saving fuel with Alexander Rossi. And very early in that race, he told his son, Colton Herta, we need to get on the rain tires. They've just been good this entire time. They go to reds, they went to the wets, and it's just the brilliance of Brian Herta and what he's able to do. It's going to be interesting to see how these drivers negotiate this rain because, again, it's a completely different race course than they saw earlier this afternoon.
Trying to think, the last three times Brian Herta's gone to victory lane at Indianapolis, today with Colton Herta, it would have been with Alexander Rossi and the 100th Indianapolis 500, and then, of course, with the late Dan Weldon in the 100th anniversary at Indianapolis 500, who was in victory lane with him. That was a young Colton Herta that day.
Yeah, that's
so,
right, yeah.
It's amazing how it comes full circle. Of course, Colton Herta, a graduate of the Indy Lights program, one of those drivers that competed in this series for a couple years, did a really nice job kind of honing those skills, learning these racetracks. So that's all of these drivers. They've got those similar goals. They want to be the next Colton Herta to get to IndyCar and start winning races. We see the field sweeping back and forth on the back straightaway. Also see some fans that have stuck around here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So awesome to see. It's been a long couple of days, lots of track activity, but for folks here in the Midwest who have been starved for some motorsports, we're going to give plenty of it to you if you're only patient. So, again, 20 laps to go. Field navigating the last couple of corners at the south end of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, where we will resume round number four of the Indy Lights Championship presented by Cooper Tires. Linus Lundqvist has the control of the field as the pace car starts to pull away and head to pit lane. We can see the raindrops on some of the onboard shots. It is going to be awful wet, awful tricky for these drivers as we restart. Lundqvist approaching turn number 12. It's a right-hander. Matthew Brabham right underneath the gearbox as we're set to go racing once again. Rasmussen is in third. It was a pretty interesting race when we started, and it looks like Lundqvist already quick on the accelerator through turn number 13. He's going to accelerate through turn number 14. They're already wiggling. In fact, Brabham's going to go a little wide. That's going to open the door for Rasmussen. He can't make the pass. We are back to racing at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And, Michael, a great jump for Linus Lundqvist. The battle for second, though, is on into turn one.
Yeah, Matt Brabham almost lost it exiting turn number 14. They are four wide. Daniel Frost down low. Brabham, Rasmussen will make his way around Brabham. Then contact. Matty Brabham cut right in front of Daniel Frost. Hunter McElroy will use the runoff. Off, but contact down at turn number one, and Matt Brabham still trying to keep control of that car. Here comes Hunter McElroy back. He will rejoin in that fourth position.
Looks like the nose cone of that 68 car of yesterday's winner is already ripped off, and Matthew Brabham is off the racetrack. He may have a flat tire. He is in the grass, in the dirt at the far side, left side of the racetrack through turn number four. He is going to tumble all the way to the rear of the field. Now he gets back onto the racetrack and tries to wrestle that car. But up front, Michael, Linus Lundqvist, everything looking good as they scramble through some of the water.
Yeah, and I think Matthew Brabham, just a horrible start, and he bunched up the rest of the field and just not getting any rhythm. Now Christian Bogoloff into the kitty litter, so it doesn't look like he's getting out. He is buried deep, of course. He was way back in the field, and here comes the safety crew. We are under caution here in the Indy Lights event.
Yeah, that looks to be right around, what, turn three, I believe, the right-hander there for Christian Bogle. And you're right, as much rain has come down, Davey, that gravel is no man's land.
Yeah, no man's land, and really unfortunate, I say, the start for Matty Brabham and what he tried to do coming off of that final corner on the front straightaway is you usually get out of the racing line because there's rubber down there, but what he didn't remember, this rat track's been wet, the Indy cars have been out there, you needed to follow the line that you're normally in because it's been cleaned off, the rubber's gone, and so Matty, you know, he took the line that you'd normally take in the rain. Unfortunately, since it's already been a wet race and the Indy cars got that line cleaned off, took a wrong move, and then got hit in the right rear in that flattened that tire.
So you don't think he would have any issue with Daniel Frost, who was super low? I mean, how was Frost going to even make that corner?
Yeah, and that's another thing. It was just, you know, I mean, they're just trying. I mean, he had the line, and yeah, he got hit just barely, but he Frost just barely tagged him. By the way, it's not going to do Frost any favors either. He's going to have to make a pit stop. It ripped the front of his nose off as well. So if he doesn't make a pit stop, he's going to probably have some problems with some aero.
And we saw Hunter McElroy McIlray, who was kind of on the far outside of that foursome heading into turn number one, did the smart thing and said, I'm going to take the access road and avoid what potential carnage there was.
Yeah, that's right. You just, no sense risking a ride. I mean, you may have to give a couple spots up by taking that access road, but your car's in one piece.
So the AMR IndyCar safety crew is out to fetch the number 7 of Christian Bogle, who will tumble towards the rear of the field. Matthew Brabham is still out on the racetrack, but he has now fallen to 13th. So with 18 laps to go, your race leader is Linus Lundqvist. Christian Rasmussen runs in second. McIlray, after he got back onto the racetrack, runs in third. Then it's Daniel Frost, who, again, the nose cone ripped off on the front of that 68 car. He is in fourth. Benjamin Peterson did a pretty nice job on the restart. He jumped from eighth up to fifth. Then it's Ernie Francis Jr. in sixth. Antonio Saravalle in seventh. Eighth is Stingray Robb. Ninth is Kiffin Simpson. Tenth is James Rowe Jr. 11th is Jacob Abel. 12th is Ryan Finney. 13th, Matthew Brabham, and 14th, Christian Bogle. Day before for Daniel Frost, again, the nose cone of that car ripped off. Can he continue to race with the car?
Yeah, you know what? I got to get a little yes, you can. With that nose, the very tip of the nose cone, as long as it didn't damage the nose wings and put that in jeopardy, you can, that nose cone, but it's really going to be, I mean, air goes in, it's like a little parachute in the front of your race car. So it'd change the handling characteristics, obviously, and down the straightaways, it'd really be grabbing a lot of air.
And you never know if you're going to get a full course caution, you know, later in the race to repair it if you don't. So interesting to see if that team for HMD with Dale Coyne Racing is elect to bring him down onto pit lane. And pretty cool, Michael, to see the partnership with Dale Coyne Racing and that team. Of course, David Malukas moves up to drive one of Dale Coyne's Indy cars. And to see that partnership kind of extended down, sharing personnel to the Indy Lights program, it's awful impressive.
Yeah, for a couple of all HMD, a large team, but for Dale Coyne to be able to share what they have learned in the IndyCar series over the years, David Malukas then jumps with that HMD Dale Coyne program, but to share the team members and for Dale Coyne to dip his toe into that Indy Lights series, that really is quite a deal for both organizations. But Davey, quick question for you. What do you do if you're Matthew Brabham at this point? You know, he's been so aggressive. He's trying so hard to get himself back to the NTT IndyCar series, and he just ends up putting himself in horrible positions.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that need to really have some help, some outside help, because the pressure is on him. I think he's putting too much pressure on himself, taking too many risks. And just have him sit down and say, let's look at the big picture here. Here's what you have to do. You haven't been in these cars for a while. Some of these kids are going to be a little bit faster than you. Just learn how to do it, but learn how to do it safely. And here's a couple of mistakes already that he's made this year. It's really taken him out of contention. And, you know, as we stand in points, I'm not sure where he stands. He's in that fifth position, but now 59 points back. Just not good.
Yeah, I mean, through 3.5 races here, we're just waiting for someone to kind of cement themselves from a consistency standpoint. We talk about how strong Will Power has been. He hasn't won a race yet in IndyCar. But with 5 top 4 finishes, he finds himself in the points lead. And Indy Lights so far, we haven't seen that. We've had 3 different winners, and just about everybody throughout the course of the weekend or this season so far has had at least one race where it hasn't gone well. For Linus Lundqvist, that was yesterday when he started from pole, couldn't come home after contact with Christian Rasmussen. He's got Rasmussen right up underneath the gearbox. We're set to go racing once again with 17 laps to go through turn 14. Everybody wiggling. In fact, Frost trying to go around Hunter McIlray. He's trying to make the pass. He's going to get it. He's going to take that third spot, as it looks like Antonio Saravalle has crashed at the exit of turn 14. He's trying to get that car refired. Not sure if he made contact. Michael, into turn number one, Lundqvist is your race leader.
Yeah, Lundqvist about a 2-car length advantage over Christian Rasmussen. So much for that damaged front wing for Daniel Frost. Further back in the field, Kiffin Simpson and his teammate James Rowe battling, but back up front. Here we go. Hunter McIlray underneath Daniel Frost again. That's at the exit of turn number four, and we have a car around Ernie Francis Jr. Now contact with Jacob Abel and James Rowe. So James Rowe goes off. Jacob able to keep that car moving forward. Going to be difficult to see if James Rowe could get that car righted. But down into turn number 7, Linus Lundqvist, 2 car lengths over Christian Rasmussen.
We stay green for now. Benjamin Peterson picked up another spot. He got around Hunter McIlray to take the fourth spot. Now he's got his eyes and his sights set on that third place running car. Yesterday's winner, Daniel Frost, all over the rear wing. It's Linus Lundqvist, Christian Rasmussen, Frost, Peterson, and McIlroy, the top five. Those five had kind of stretched away from the field. They're going to lose all of that advantage because, Davey, we have gone full course yellow. We can see James Rowe Jr. He's gassing it up. That left rear tire is off the ground spinning. He's stuck.
He's high-sided right now in that pea gravel. Can't go anywhere in an unsafe place. And the driver's still making a lot of mistakes. Ironically, it's all down in turn three. Everything's happening in turn three right now. They're worried about turn one, but turn three seems to be where all the carnage is.
Well, you think about the IndyCar race. Reedus VK lost it down there. Down there. Scott McLaughlin. It's been an odd place because we never really see incidents down in turn number three.
Yeah, true.
Davey, how fortunate was Ernie Francis? He's the one that triggered this. He hit a 360, and then everybody kind of scattered to not hit him. He was able to grab a gear.
It kept on rolling. So, like I said, he caused the carnage, but was able to get out of it safely. Dropped a few spots. He was in that sixth position. Now drops him back down to the ninth position right now. But right now, Matty Brabham made that huge mistake and on the start, and you know he's already back up to eighth.
Just start to pick your way through the field. It's going to happen. It's going to be about just making it to the finish today here in the Indy Lights Series presented by Cooper Tires. Again, full course caution. Back out on the racetrack with 15 laps to go. Linus Lundqvist. All the action is happening behind the Swedish driver, the sophomore, back for a second campaign after finding victory lane, but really kind of being the third horse in a most definitive two-horse race for the championship between Kyle Kirkwood and David Malukas a year ago. Lundqvist is back. Has his sights set on a title, and so far doing a pretty good job. Not only the points leader as they run, but the race leader here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Christian Rasmussen is second. Daniel Frost is third. Benjamin Peterson, fourth. Hunter McIlroy is fifth. Sixth is Stingray Robb. Seventh is Kiffin Simpson. Matthew Brabham, Ernie Francis Jr., and Ryan Finney round out the top 10. Jacob Abel is 11th. Antonio Saravalli is 12th. 13th, Christian Bogle. 14th, James Rowe Jr., as it looks like they have, Davey, got that 12 car for TJ Speed. Brand new team, Tim Neff, moves up to the Indy Lights Series. It's been a tough go. James Rowe Jr. Has had a lot of mistakes. The other driver, Kiffin Simpson, not a lot to write home about, but certainly doing a lot of learning for that organization early in this Indy Lights.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Tim has so many wins. Probably the most as an engineer. I'm not sure we'd have to look at that. But in this series, been out of it for a while. Is back into it with his own racing team. I know how good he is. He was my engineer for a while in the IndyCar series as well, and really good guy and working hard to make this team happen. But, you know, he's gonna get a hold of it, trust me. And right now, Simpson's a little surprised. We've seen some speed early on in the season, but then when it came to race time, just not really there. So, like I said, a lot of work for that team to get back on pace.
Yeah, boy, I remember in the early days when I joined the network and Tim Neff engineering cars for Sam Schmidt, and man, it didn't matter if it was Joseph Newgarden or Esteban Guerriere. I mean, Michael, that Schmidt Lights program, not enough is made just how strong they were. There was about a 5 or 6 year period where, I mean, they were almost untouchable.
Yeah, it really was. I think when Sam decided not to have his Indy Lights program, people were actually happy.
Yeah.
You know, and it probably
opens up competition a little bit.
He really did dominate that series, and Tim Neff was the leader of the pack and forced Sam to make that happen. And it was like, Which of the Schmidt cars are going to win?
Yeah. You know,
that's basically the way it was.
Quickly, before we go back to green, Davey, we were talking before we went green in the IndyCar race. These drivers have a halo now, but they don't have that aero screen. They don't have a windshield. What are they seeing with this rooster tails and just their visor to protect themselves from the rain?
You know, the visors, I always liked it because when the moisture is on your shield close to your eye, it didn't really affect you that much. I mean, they're obviously, it's not like being completely clear, but it blew off your visor very easy. But I always thought, well, how are these windscreens in IndyCar going to work because it's so far away from your eye, like a windshield in a car going down the road? And, you know, the good thing is Colton Herta was asked that. You got to remember, he was leading all the race. And he gave it a B+. I don't know if that's the best because it started fogging up, but he said, was there some difficult things? He didn't think it needed a windshield wiper, but he wasn't in 10th in line either.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to wait and see. But that was the first time they've tested. You know, everybody, you know, without talking to anybody else, just from Colton, who is the winner, who is out front, gave it a B+ for us.
We've got some drivers in IndyCar who aren't afraid to share their opinions. In the next coming 24, 48 hours, I'm sure it's going to be interesting as we kind of debrief exactly how it was for drivers, not only at the front of the field, mid-pack and folks that had that spray throughout the course of the day. As again, if you're just joining us, Colton Herta picked up the race win for the GMR IndyCar Grand Prix, putting the finishing touches on the Indy Lights race number two, the Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis. And we are set to go racing once again with 14 laps to go. Another great start, Michael, for Linus Lundqvist. He charges out of that final corner. Battle's going to be for third. Benjamin Peterson right up the tailpipe. He's going to move to the inside, side by side with Daniel Frost in a one.
Yeah, Frost couldn't really get going to the exit of 14. That gave Peterson that inside line. Peterson will make that dive down into turn number one. The two will get through cleanly, but now Daniel Frost will have the advantage in turn number two. Can Peterson remain alongside? And yes, Daniel Frost will lose a little bit of ground right there. He wiggles ever so slightly. That'll open the door for Hunter McElroy. So Benjamin Peterson with the big move on the restart. That will move him into that third position. Hunter McElroy fourth, and Daniel Frost in the fifth position as they make their way through the switchback.
These drivers are sawing on the steering wheel, just trying to hold on to these race cars. Linus Lundqvist going to be the first one down into turn number seven as we have gotten a half a lap completed after going back racing. It is Lundqvist, Rasmussen. We see Peterson running in third, starting to pull away a little bit from the fourth place running Hunter McElroy, and then it's the fifth place car of Daniel Frost. Frost's car is damaged. He has Stingray Rob trying to give chase as well. But David, we saw some onboard shots there. Some of these guys really just trying to hang on. We see Matthew Brabham already starting to carve his way back through the field.
Yeah, he was trying. I mean, he's struggling too. Francis Jr. right behind him, getting all Matty can handle. He's been sideways off a few of those corners, just not to his liking. This rain and his car doesn't seem to be accepting this rain very well as either. But right now, Francis Jr. I think is doing a pretty darn good job. I know he fell back a few spots. He spun out, caused a little havoc back there, but seems to have a little bit of speed. As I say that, Abel is closing in on him coming down the front straightaway.
Yeah, watching a couple drivers use different lines. Abel trying to take it a little sharp through that corner. He got the nice run, Michael. Looks like he's going to challenge Ernie Francis Jr. They're going to go side by side. Now Abel's popping to the outside.
Yeah, Jacob Abel trying to take over that position from Ernie Francis Jr. Francis Jr. will run wide. That will cause Jacob Abel to have that back end step out ever so slightly. That will allow Matty Brabham to step out about four car lengths, but Jacob Abel still on the attack. He'll look to the outside of Ernie Francis Jr. Francis has that front end washout ever so slightly. Both drivers trying to find grip through turns five and six. And Ernie Francis Jr. goes off track. He'll hit the curb at the exit of turn number six. He'll get airborne, but able to keep control of that car. What a great save by Ernie Francis Jr.
Boy, Davey, the front of that car was pointed towards the sky there through turns five and six.
Yeah, that curb has done that before. I mean, they've mild it out a lot. I mean, it used to really launch the cars. All four tires coming off. Now he's going to lose it now. He's been on the edge. Another 360. Man, that's the third really incident he's had. Fortunately, it didn't cost anybody any incidents right now, but boy, oh boy, he's hanging on and all over the place right now.
You know, he ran last year that SRX series, so very popular, the Superstar Racing Experience against some of the legends of the sport. That thing, Michael, is all about entertainment, and unfortunately for Ernie Francis Jr., he's given us plenty of entertainment right now, but not the kind that I think he likes in the cockpit.
No, he's putting on quite the show, though, and for him to keep control of that car, two spins and launched in the air, and he's still digging, trying to keep that thing as we watch one of the quick replays. This is the exit of turn number five, and he'll hit that curbing in turn number six. He actually wasn't going to make the turn and tried to avoid that curbing, and man alive, he got in the air, nearly made contact with Jacob Abel. He was just trying to save himself from making contact with Jacob Abel. All four tires off the ground.
Davey, how's that feel for the old lower back?
Well, it didn't look like a super hard landing, but that was definitely flight. I mean, when I first seen it, I seen the front end in there, but I didn't realize that, again, all four tires in there and how he saved that. I know last year one of Schmidt's cars, I think, hit that thing with the McLarens and it lands hard. It actually fractured the tub. So never good to hit that like that.
Hey, perhaps Matt Brabham showed him a little bit of the stadium super trucks and how to manage some of those ramps.
Boy, we see Christian Rasmussen, who was running second. He makes a mistake at the south end of the racetrack, Davey. Turn 12, trying to woe it down. He lost the second position to Benjamin Peterson.
Yeah, he had to take the runoff road, and it loses two spots. McElroy and Peterson get by him and takes him off the podium.
So tough break for Christian Rasmussen. And you know, to kind of put a bow on that Ernie Francis Jr. thing, I was going to say, the sponsorship is so very important. Sometimes going viral on the Internet is worth something, David.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that clip of that accident is going to be shared around.
That should be shared around as we watch Stingray Rob now. I think Frost is just a sitting duck with that nose piece. Just aerodynamically just cannot get down these straightaways right now. And Stingray Rob trying to make another position, which he does pull that off, moving Rob into that fifth spot.
And, Michael, you can see, I mean, Daniel Frost is doing everything he can at corner exit to jump in the throttle quickly to hang with guys. But, boy, Stingray Rob starting to pull away as they take alternating lines through turns 3 and 4.
Yeah, Davey said it best. It's like a big hole in that nose cone, like a parachute. All that air getting diffused right into the center of that car. And as soon as he gets into a straight line, it just puts on that parachute and slows him down. But how about Benjamin Peterson? Still 3 seconds back from Linus Lundqvist. But that young man battling just a couple of weeks ago at Barber Motorsports Park had a rough day yesterday. Finds himself in that second position.
Yeah, we talked about how Daniel Frost, it was just a matter of time before he gets a race win. The same thing can most certainly be said about Benjamin Peterson because he has been awful strong here, not only to close last year, but to start this 2020 season. He's got about 3.7 seconds he's going to have to make up from his teammate Linus Lundqvist, who he raced against a year ago with 10 laps to go. Here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, this is the Indy Lights Series presented by Cooper Tires, the Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis. The voices you hear, Michael Young, our driver analyst, Davey Hamilton. I'm Nick Yeoman. Thank you so much for being patient and sticking with us all day long as we're putting the finishing touches as the sun sets on the world's greatest race course. 9 laps to go, and Michael, looks like Hunter McIlroy under attack from Christian Rasmussen.
Yeah, Rasmussen trying to make up for the mistake that he made down in turn number 12, and he will easily get around Hunter McIlroy. Now he'll set his sights on Benjamin Peterson, who was able to capitalize on the mistake of Christian Rasmussen. So Rasmussen already about 2 car lengths ahead of Hunter McIlroy as they negotiate turn number 4. He's about 4 car lengths behind Benjamin Peterson. That will be the battle for that second position. But boy, those guys slipping and sliding through 5 and 6. A couple of cars nearly losing control. Linus Lundqvist now 4.2 seconds ahead. But now that battle for that second position, Benjamin Peterson, Christian Rasmussen down into turn number 7.
Davey, Christian Rasmussen looks really, really fast. It seems like for this young man, it's all about just trying to hone that speed in and eliminate the mistakes, because the natural pace, dry or wet, seems to be there for the Swedish driver.
Really good run. I mean, he had a fast lap, 127 actually, that last lap, and against a 128. So he's a couple tenths quicker for sure. And man, he's getting in that draft right now. He has the opportunity to maybe pass him down this front straightaway.
He is right there in the tire tracks, which ends up being in the spray on these wet conditions of second place running Benjamin Peterson. They'll snake their way through turns 13 and 14. Again, everybody taking different lines to just try to get out of the water spray. And boy, what a run for Rasmussen. Michael, they are side by side for second across the yard of bricks.
Boy, that car gripped up at the exit of turn number 14, and he has a run down into turn number 1. Christian Rasmussen with a 2-car length advantage over Benjamin Peterson. He will retake that second position. Linus Lundqvist has checked out, but now Benjamin Peterson starting to fall into the grasp of Hunter McIlroy. Hunter McIlroy is there, but what a fantastic launch the Christian Rasmussen machine had. He hung on for dear life and thought he was going to spin out for a second, and that car started to get grip, and he had a great run.
Yeah, Davey, that was kind of two parts. It was a great launch from Rasmussen, but Peterson also just trying to hang on at the exit of 14.
Yeah, I think he got a little too high. Just the momentum took him up close to the wall. Looked like he had to lift so slightly, but the good thing is Rasmussen was paying attention, because it looked like he may have had to get in, almost ran into the back of him. It was a close and had him passed early in the straightaway.
So one Andretti Autosport car gets around Benjamin Peterson. We'll see if the next two can. Hunter McIlroy and Stingray Rob, who's doing a pretty good job, Michael, of hanging on to this group. It's the top 5. They're separated by just about a second or two as we see Rasmussen about 4 or 5 car lengths over Peterson, another 3 back to McIlroy, and about 2 or 3 more to Stingray Rob. Those are the foursome. Everyone trying to run down Linus Lund.
Yeah, Stingray Rob, once he got around Daniel Frost with that ailing front wing, was able to check out about a second and a half. So Rob still in touch with Hunter McIlroy. That would be the battle for that fourth position. But coming down that front straightaway, Christian Rasmussen has checked out from Benjamin Peterson. Now the battle will be for that third position as Hunter McIlroy tries to make the charge down into turn number 1. He's about a half a car length behind Benjamin Peterson as we watch the 3 cars battle into turn number 1 as Christian Rasmussen now negotiates turn number 2. Again, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. They are nose to tail. Throw a blanket over them as they exit turn number 3. Now negotiating turn number 4. The driver with a good run on Hunter McIlroy is Stingray Rob. He's closed it down to about a car length now as they make their way through turns 5 and 6. Let's see what kind of launch Stingray Rob gets. Can he overtake that fourth position? Take it away from Hunter McElroy.
Yeah, boy, lots of dancing through that switchback as Stingray Rob now moves to the inside, back into the tire tracks. He's about 2 car lengths, maybe a car length and a half off of Hunter McElroy. Doesn't get a great exit of turn number 7. Takes a wider line through the right-hander of turn number 8, but he is right there just waiting for McElroy to make a mistake. And the reality is, Davey, a mistake is waiting around every corner with a wet racetrack.
You know, it's fun to watch. These drivers are really getting a workout. Cars are sliding around. It's different every corner. You see a few areas drying out, but very few areas. But the good news here, different than in Barber, there's plenty of moisture on that track to keep those tires cool. There's only 7 laps to go, too. And so we can count on the tires not being completely wore off out of control, because we still see a lot of mist. But as they're coming on the front straightaway, Stingray Rob, you can see just in a drift behind McElroy, but now he's right behind him. He's going to take advantage of that draft, go try to go low, get side by side with him going down into turn 1.
Michael, all the way down to the pit wall goes Stingray Rob.
That's a battle for the fourth position. Give it to Stingray Rob. Quite the drive, and Hunter McElroy made a mistake in turn 12. That nearly opened the door for Stingray Rob, but he was patient. Is Stingray Rob able to get around Hunter McElroy? So we'll move Stingray Rob up to that fourth position. His next sights will be set on Benjamin Peterson. Meanwhile, Linus Lundqvist already down into turn number 7. Rasmussen about 4.2 seconds behind. Then Benjamin Peterson, Stingray Rob, Hunter McElroy are your top 5.
So it's a 4.2 second gap. Just moments ago, Davey, it was 4.8 seconds. So Rasmussen starting to close. The problem is he's going to have to close at a faster rate because we're down to just 5.5 laps.
Yeah, that's right. He cannot make up that much time, especially in these conditions, without Lundqvist making a pretty big mistake. And right now, he's the driver up front, not getting any of that mist in his face, and hasn't put a wheel wrong so far.
So 6 laps to go, closing in on 5, as it looks like Linus Lundqvist already heading for the start-finish line. In fact, I think I just saw Rasmussen go off the racetrack again and miss that turn 12 right-hander off the oval. Had to take the service road, and it shows up on the stopwatch right back to 6.4 seconds. So those are the mistakes, Davey, that you simply can't make as Lundqvist has got 5 to go.
Yeah, just trying a little bit too hard. I mean, the good thing is didn't lose any spots. And Stingray Rob flies by Peterson to pick up that third position.
Boy, Michael, he's got a fast car, Stingray.
Man on a mission is Stingray Rob. He made that pass on Benjamin Peterson look silly. He just swept by him at the exit of turn number 14. They drag race down that front straightaway as Benjamin Peterson really sawing at the wheel. That'll allow Stingray Rob to check out about 3 car lengths. So Stingray Rob, that mistake by Christian Rasmussen potentially will allow Stingray Rob to close back in and take over that second position. I don't know if a drive's going to get it done today. I think it's going to be a mistake by someone else that will allow you to advance positions, with the exception of Rob. He is driving a magnificent race.
And Davey, this is a testament to the type of season he has had. He finished 4th at St. Petersburg, 3rd at Barber, and 3rd yesterday. I mean, again, he hasn't won a race yet, but in terms of keeping yourself in the championship hunt, it's strong charges like this that are going to do it.
Really consistent 3rd last week, as you said, running 3rd again right now. Still has the opportunity to pick up another position, too far away from the leader unless they make a mistake. But Stingray is doing a really outstanding job. And watching that car move around, as we see it right there on turn 12, he's sideways, he's up in the moisture to keep those tires cool, out of line just a little bit. But he's really driving the heck out of that thing.
As we've always known, Michael, drivers from Idaho, great at racing
in the rain.
That's
right.
That's where the weather comes in the most. Idaho known for its wet races.
Oh, we see the field back on the front straightaway. Good battle a little bit further back. It's for 7th. Kiffin Simpson, Michael, he's got Jacob Abel right underneath the rear wing and gearbox. They set up for turn 1.
Yeah, a couple of the drivers that had offs a little bit earlier, and maybe not to their liking, obviously, and not any of their faults as they make their way through the south end of the north end of the course. Kiffin Simpson able to keep control of that car, but Jacob Abel digging after losing that nose piece in the early portion of this race, and after the rain, obviously has that new nose trying to get around Kiffin Simpson. They'll work their way through that switchback. It's Kiffin Simpson in the seventh position, and Jacob Abel, the rookie, in that eighth position. So a couple of rookies battling down into turn number seven, and nobody will make any advancements there as Kiffin Simpson able to hold off the charge of Jacob Abel.
The impressive thing, Davey, after a couple failed restarts, once we establish a little bit of rhythm, it looks like these lights drivers are starting to get comfortable.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm watching how consistent they are. They started at 132s, and then they got into the 131s, and they're now in the 127 bracket. Matter of fact, Rasmussen had fastest lap of the race last time by 126.98. The leader, Lundqvist, 127.39, had a quarter of a second, but with so few laps left, doesn't really do him any good. But, they're definitely picking up time as this race goes on.
Linus Lundqvist streaks across the yard of bricks, just three laps to go here in the Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis, race number two. He's your race leader. Rasmussen second, Robb is third, Peterson fourth, McIlroy fifth, Frost is sixth, and we're watching this battle for seventh. Simpson has it. Jacob Abel, Michael, looking left, looking right, setting him up for turn number one.
Yeah, Kiffin Simpson making it difficult, but Jacob Abel able to make that move down low. He will have the outside line at the exit of turn number two, tries to do the switchback and get back underneath the machine of Kiffin Simpson, unable to do so until now. Makes that move, breaks late, and through turn number four, Jacob Abel will take over that seventh position, but Kiffin Simpson not done yet. Right underneath the rear wing of Jacob Abel as they make their way down Holman Boulevard, Jacob Abel. And a nice run by Kiffin Simpson. He'll step back to the outside, try to retake that seventh position. They make their way through turn number seven. They go through there side by side.
Boy, Davey, that's some great crossover moves, great racing in the mid-pack.
Yeah, really respecting each other right there, crossing, as you said, back and forth. One gets one pass the next corner, and the other one gets a run on the next. So that's what we like to see right there. The young kids giving each other room and racing hard.
I got a little nervous through like turns three and four. They were so close, and you knew that switchback was coming up, and the last thing you want to do is try to go side by side through that portion of the racetrack because it launches cars like it did Ernie Francis earlier. I'll tell you what, Michael, Jacob Abel's not done. He's going to take a look to the inside of Daniel Frost. That's going to become the outside through turn 14. Abel has come alive. He's looking for the sixth spot back on the front straightaway with two laps to go.
He distanced himself from Kiffin Simpson, now attacking Daniel Frost. He drove underneath the rear wing of Daniel Frost like he was standing still in turn number 13. Jacob Abel will look to the outside. Don't think he'll have an opportunity to pass down into turn number one as Daniel Frost holding on again that damaged front wing for the driver of that HMD machine. Daniel Frost will hang on now, our winner of yesterday's race, but here comes Jacob Abel. He is on the attack, tries the move to the inside again. At the exit of turn number four, both cars slide into turn number five. Give Jacob Abel that position. A great pass. Give him P6 as he passes Daniel Frost.
Frost's about to lose another spot as well. He's going to protect the inside down Holman Boulevard. Kiffin Simpson in car 21 has a strong charge. Going to try to go around the outside. Doesn't have the horsepower. He's going to try to slice underneath him through turn seven. Not able to do it as Daniel Frost making that car plenty wide as this is the battle for the seventh position with just a lap and a half to go. Up front, though, it is Linus Lundqvist. His lead was up around 6 seconds. It shrunk to about 4.3, so Christian Rasmussen clearly is faster, but Davey, the mistakes and the dwindling sand of the hourglass is going to bite him as Lundqvist about to see the white flag.
Yes, white flag's out. He just crosses under right there. Both drivers, first and second, coming on that straightaway down low just to get some, make sure those tires stay cool. There's enough moisture on this track not to really wear them out. We can see all the tread on them still as they go by. Where in Barber, we couldn't. They were wearing them out quickly.
Jacob Abel's not done, Michael. He's trying to get Hunter McIlroy into turn one.
He is a man that is just passing cars like they're standing still the latter portion of this race down into turn number one. Jacob Abel accelerates. It looks like Hunter McIlroy standing still. Hunter McIlroy saws at the wheel. That will allow Jacob Abel to pass him. So move Abel up to P5. He's passed three cars in 2.5 laps. He makes his way through the switch back up turns 5 and 6. This may be the best drive I've ever seen Jacob Abel do.
Fun personality, young Canadian driver driving for, again, a startup team. It's a family team, and he's going to drive his way to the top five. Kiffin Simpson trying to go the long way around the Daniel Frost machine as they continue to battle. Up front, though, it is Linus Lundqvist, who is making his way through turns 12 and 13, Michael Young, a couple corners away from a win here at Indy Lights.
Not nearly as difficult of a run or as challenging of a run as it was a couple of weeks ago at Barber Motorsports Park as he battled Benjamin Peterson. This time, once he got the lead, he checked out. The lead over Christian Rasmussen, 3.7 seconds. Here comes Linus Lundqvist off turn 14 for the final time.
He will see the twin checkered flags. Linus Lundqvist, the first driver to score a second win in 2022. He wins the Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis Race 2 here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Christian Rasmussen, he charges to within 3.6 seconds. He comes home in the second spot. Stingray Robb will finish third. Another podium for the driver from Idaho. Benjamin Peterson finishes fourth. The story of the last handful of laps was Jacob Abel. That's a career best top five finish for him. Hunter McElroy is going to have to settle for sixth. Daniel Frost will finish in seventh. Kiffin Simpson is up to eighth. Matthew Brabham certainly going to be disappointed with a ninth-place finish. Ernie Francis Jr., it was a wild day for him. He comes home in 10th. Antonio Saravalli, 11th. Ryan Finney, 12th. James Rowe Jr., 13th. Christian Bogle, 14th. Davey, a great drive for Linus Lundqvist, but that was fun watching the mid-pack battles. Some of those guys really starting to find some life and get comfortable on this wet race.
You know, really, Lundqvist was the class of the field. He showed he stayed up front, whether it was dry or wet conditions. But from Rasmussen all the way back, there are some great battles. These drivers really having to manhandle those cars around. Rasmussen actually making a couple mistakes, able to fight back. Peterson doing the same, fighting back and forth. But Robb, he drove, you know, he was back in eighth place at one time, finds himself on the podium again.
Awful impressive performance, Michael, for Linus Lundqvist. Again, only three drivers won races in Indy Lights last year. Yeah. Kyle Kirkwood, who's in IndyCar, David Malukas, who is in IndyCar, and this young man from Sweden, Linus Lundqvist. He came in as the guy everyone kind of circled as the title favorite. He's going to leave this weekend and head to Detroit with a 32-point lead in the championship standings.
Yeah, you take St. Petersburg out of it, and this guy has been flawless. It drove a magnificent race today. Two of them in the rain. Did it at Barber and did it again here at Indianapolis. And how fitting of an end to the day as the camera shot from Turn 9 back over the Pagoda. Yeah. Looks like a postcard. Beautiful.
Yep, it is beautiful, and it's beautiful to be back at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway kicking off the month of May. Of course, here on the IndyCar Radio Network, we are super excited to once again bring you live coverage of every practice session, every time a car is on track for qualifying, and then, of course, Carb Day, all leading up to the 106th running of the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500, coming up the 29th of May. It is Linus Lundqvist, your race winner. He one day hopes to be racing in the Indy 500, and again, will take a 32-point lead to another doubleheader weekend. They're going to go to Belle Isle to Detroit as the undercard for that weekend, the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix. Of course, the final race at Detroit in IndyCar on Belle Isle before we
That's
go
correct.
Racing down in the city.
Yeah, heading to the city, heading back. You know, it started in the city.
Yeah.
Went to Belle Isle. Now we're back in the city. Seen the course, but until you're there to really evaluate it, see what buildings are by and see how it's going to be laid out, it's going to be interesting. We have to wait a year just for Nick for that to happen, but it is changing.
So it will be a farewell to Belle Isle for IndyCar and Indy Lights. And again, two more races for these drivers as this championship continues to wind across the country. They'll go to Detroit. They'll race at Road America, Mid-Ohio, Iowa. They're going to get a chance to race at Nashville, Worldwide Technology Raceway, Portland, and then, of course, a doubleheader to close the season at Laguna Seca. Let's hear from some of our competitors. Back to pit lane and Ryan Marine.
Christian Rasmussen brings it home after a long day in the office. He gets a hug from one of the crew members. Christian, P2 today. In trying conditions, describe your race. What was that like from your perspective? Long day.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like we deserved more. I think we were the fastest car out there, so a little disappointed in myself making the mistakes that I did.
Thank you for the time. Congrats on a nice, solid effort today.
Thank you very much.
Needless to say, disappointed with coming home in the second spot. He will move himself up, though, thanks to those points, up into the sixth position, into the championship standings. But, of course, everyone chasing Linus Lundqvist, who scores his second race win of the season here in the Indy Lights Series presented by Cooper Tires, as he leads all 35 laps here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. His lead ballooned up to about six and a half seconds. Rasmussen closed to within 3.6 seconds, but again, simply ran out of time and made a couple bobbles in turn 12, where ultimately was not able to capitalize and take that top step of the podium. Again, Stingray Robb, great run for him. He comes home in third, and Michael, for You know, all of these drivers, now they get to sit back. I'm sure a lot of them are going to want to be on timing stands, hang around team owners for IndyCar over the next couple of weeks as we get ready for the Indy 500.
Yeah, you talk about those guys at HMD. They'll be hanging out with Dale Coyne Racing, yeah. David Malukas, and Takuma Sato to see how things are done on the IndyCar side of things as they look for their chance to make their rise to the NTT IndyCar Series. But, again, a great run today by Linus Lundqvist. And Ryan Marine has Linus down on pit lane. Ryan?
He's got the Swedish flag draped around his shoulders, accepting the congratulations of many of his HMD Motorsports crew members and a big smile on the face. Linus, you had to earn that one. We started this race in the dry, had the long delay. You hop back in totally different conditions. How do you sum up this bizarre day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
Well, I got to say, definitely the longest race I've ever done. I mean, it's been, what, 6 hours or something?
Didn't you do a 24-hour race?
Yeah, but I didn't drive the full 24 hours. But, you know, it's been tough, super tough, not only for me, but also the whole team, obviously, waiting to hear if we're going to race, what conditions it's going to be like, etc. So, yeah, it's definitely a team effort, and a massive thank you for them for giving me a great car. And as well, I got to say a big thank you to my event title sponsor this weekend, which is Racemore. So, yeah, hopefully I made him proud to get a win with him.
After the race at Barber, we chatted a little bit about how you were in those wet but drying conditions. Maybe you used a little bit too much of the tires, and it made it a bit more interesting at the end. Were you thinking about any of that at all as you were racing today, and the track was sort of drying out?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I have that in mind. And obviously, I saw this track drying out as well. So just about looking at that left front for us, at least, and obviously the last five laps, just managing the gap and, you know, taking a little bit easy to make sure you keep it on track. And I knew that once the gap was up to like 4 or 5 seconds, I knew that you could comfortably, you know, look after the tires and hopefully have some at the end.
We know your goal is to be an IndyCar driver and race in the Indy 500 next year. What are you going to be doing for the rest of the month of May? Is there anything you're going to be doing around the Speedway to help further those efforts?
I'm definitely going to spend a lot of time here. We'll see. Hopefully, maybe with the team, if they can invite me and help me along and understand the Indy 500 a little bit better. But we'll see. Obviously, we had a good two races. Obviously, last race could have been a bit better. But feels good to finish on the win. Both, obviously, we showed the pace in the dry, but also in the wet now.
Congratulations on the big win.
Thank you very much.
That's Linus Lundqvist.
Your podium today, Stingray Robb finishes third, Christian Rasmussen second, and your winner for the second time this season, Linus Lundqvist. Thanks to our driver analyst today, Davey Hamilton, calling the action around the track, Michael Young, Mark James, and Jake Query in the pits, Ryan Marine, and Rob Blackman. The chief engineer is Rick Evans, RF operations by Paul Levitt, production assistance by Andrew Yeoman, Jake Robinson, and Laura Steele. Our spotters today were Darren King and Chad Platt. Our producer is Sam Rumsup, and the network director is Chris Pollack. I'm Nick Yeoman, reminding you to stick around for live flag-to-flag coverage of the IndyCar Series. Not the GMR Grand Prix. We're going to get set for the Indianapolis 500 practice sessions coming up next Tuesday. And again, anytime IndyCar is on track, you can hear it right here on IndyCar Radio. And don't forget to click the follow button on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The preceding was an exclusive copyrighted presentation of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.